Good morning, and welcome in again to another edition of Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master is a program that is heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I am your host on Thursdays. Each day you have a different host and a different course of study. At this time, on our Thursday edition, we are currently studying the book of John. And today we are going to be beginning in John chapter 8 and verse 48. So I hope that you'll stick around with us for the next few minutes as we spend this time in God's Word and begin moving our day in the right direction. Now, Mornings for the Master is heard each weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and it is replayed in the evenings at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. These programs are also then placed into the archives or the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network from our website, and you can go there and also hear these programs as well as other programs here on TGRN. So I hope you avail yourselves to these programs. The Gospel Radio Network is under the oversight of the elders of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, USA. The programming director for Mornings for the Master is Brother David Sudhoff, and we also encourage you and solicit your prayers and support of this network. Tell your friends about it and help us spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to pick up today in John chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 48. Let's go there. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The Apostle John, in his gospel, is showing us the mounting opposition against Jesus in Jerusalem. The gospel, in fact, began with those words. In chapter 1 and verse 11, He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But what Jesus has been doing is declaring who true disciples are. And we see that in this portion of John chapter 8. Jesus has explained how we can know that God is our Father. God is not our Father just because we can trace some sort of physical lineage. God is not our Father just because we go to church every Sunday, or that we take the Lord's Supper every week, or we're baptized. Jesus has explained that we must hear his words, and his words must live within us. We must remain and abide in his words and be transformed by his teachings if we want to consider God to be our Father. And so this portion of chapter 8 is about the deity of Jesus and how this truth leads to no second death for his followers. These are the teachings that we can observe that John wants us to know. The pivotal point comes from verse 51. And it is truly an amazing statement. Verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. What a truly amazing promise from our Lord. If we will keep his word, then we will have eternal life. We will never be separated from the Father. So what does it mean to keep his word? In our text today, we are seeing what true saving belief looks like. A true belief does what Jesus says. It follows his commandments. This is why following the words of Jesus is of such vital importance. Eternal life results from humbly and obediently believing his word and following him. When we do this, we will not see death. And in case we think that this is some type of mistake or some type of error, for good measure, Jesus points this out again in chapter 11 in verse 25. There it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Your body, the tent in which you live, is going to play out. It is going to die. But you, your inner being, will not die. Do you grasp what Jesus is saying? Do you see our amazing, incredible hope that is found in these words? If you keep his words and you live in his words, it is never going to be over for you. There is no end. Listen to what Jesus already taught us in this gospel. Chapter 5 and verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. You have passed to unending life. Eternal life does not stop. And because of that, there is no reason for the faithful Christian to fear the moment of death. Consider Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. And release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The body dies, but you will not die. You will never see death. His words bring life. He said, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Jesus is going to explain now who he is making this offer for and what we must do or be in order to receive this offer of never seeing death. We must seek God's approval. Notice beginning in verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Jesus tells those people in verse 27 that the reason they are not hearing the words of God is because the fact is they do not belong to God. It is an obvious truth, but is also a smack to the face for them. Jesus is saying the reason that you do not listen to what God has to say is because, in essence, you have no relationship to God. That you do not belong to him like you think you do. And of course, that brings out a strong reaction. They respond, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Basically, they're saying that Jesus is a crazy man and a heretic. You are not of God, they say. You are sinful and evil. Jesus responds to them that the problem is not that he is crazy, but rather he honors his Father, and they are dishonoring Jesus for doing so. Notice the emphasis here that he honors his Father, not our Father. Jesus says, I am doing the right thing, which is to honor the Father, yet you dishonor me for it. But now, we need to notice that Jesus says that his goal is not to receive glory from these people. He's not there seeking glory for himself. If Jesus needed to seek the glory of others, he could have stayed in the heavenly realm and received the praise and honor from the heavenly beings. Jesus did not come for his own glory. This is certainly seen even from his lowly beginnings. It is seen from the lack of honor he received throughout his whole walk on this earth. Jesus came to complete the will of the Father. The Father seeks his glory. Jesus will be vindicated by the Father. The Father is the judge. The Father's judgment will show that Jesus honors the Father and the people do not. Jesus is living his life so that the Father seeks his glory. Furthermore, all that matters to Jesus is the glory that comes from the Father. What other individuals think is immaterial. The only thing that means anything or is of any importance is God's approval. So Jesus tells them that the Father would be the judge of them. And since his entire mission had been to honor the Father, as such, Jesus does not have to defend his own honor. The Father will do that for him, and the Father will judge those who dishonor him. We will understand that Jesus is greater than all. Verse 52, Then the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. What do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. This statement about never tasting death drives these people over the edge. Now, we know you have a demon. We know that you are a crazy man. Abraham died, as well as the prophets. Yet again, we see a misunderstanding in what Jesus is saying, because they are dull and blind in their minds and hearts. Nicodemus misunderstood Jesus when they talked in chapter 3. The Samaritan woman and the paralytic man misunderstood Jesus also. His brothers misunderstood him. Even his disciples misunderstood him on numerous occasions. But the people continue in their slander and unbelief toward Jesus. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, they said, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Who do you think you are? No one is greater than Abraham and the prophets, according to these Jewish people. So, who do you think you are, so that you can say that if people keep your word, they will never taste death, ever? Jesus has a response to this as well. And notice how Jesus proceeds to prove himself. Jesus did not overtly declare his deity, but lived and spoke in a way that people would observe his divine nature and confess it. There is no glory in self-glorification and self-promotion. If you have to promote yourself, then you really do not have glory at all. If you have to get people to pay attention to you, then you really are not noteworthy at all. And this is an important lesson for us to keep in mind. There is no glory if you have to seek it for yourself. You have nothing if you have to go get it for yourself and beg people to give it to you. Jesus did not need to advertise his glory. He just lived a life and taught in such a way that people knew that this was God. Jesus lived in a way that the Father glorified him. Let's consider the thought to know the Father. Verse 55 says, "Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." But here is the problem. You do not know him. Jesus points out that you say that he is your God, but you do not know him at all. They claimed a relationship that they simply did not have. Jesus does know the Father, and Jesus keeps the Father's word. If Jesus denied his relationship with the Father, in fact, he would be a liar like these people who claim to have a relationship with the Father. Remember that previously, Jesus said that they were murderers, just like their father, the devil. Consider verse 44. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So now Jesus says that they are liars, just like their father, the devil. Verse 55 again, "You have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. They had claimed to be the children of Abraham. They said, Abraham is our father. Now notice verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And then notice what Jesus says in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Remember that we learn that children act like their father. These people are not children of Abraham because they are not rejoicing at my arrival as Abraham has rejoiced. Jesus here is stating that he is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise, which brings Abraham joy. Jesus identifies himself as the ultimate fulfillment of all of Abraham's hopes and joys. Since Jesus fulfills what is announced in the Old Testament, then for the Jews to be children of Abraham would have meant for them to share in Abraham's attitude of joyful expectation and reception of the Lord Jesus. Jesus points out that they are not Abraham's children at all because they do not act like Abraham. Another thing we need to consider in verse 56, and it is a glorious emphasis that Jesus is making. Notice in verse 56 that Jesus does not say that Abraham hoped to see this day. Rather, he rejoiced that he would see this day, and he has seen it. Remember what the people said now in verse 53? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? They said that Abraham was dead. They said, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Jesus is saying that Abraham is not dead. He is rejoicing at the arrival of this day because he saw it. Abraham did not see death. Abraham is proof that though this body dies, God's people do not die. And so, yes, knowing the Father, and let's consider that Jesus is I Am. Verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Verse 59 says, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The people understand what Jesus is saying about Abraham. You are not even 50 years old. How can you say that you have seen Abraham? But Jesus told them that before Abraham was, I am. If Jesus wanted to declare his pre-existence, he could have said, before Abraham was, I was. In essence, I was around before Abraham. But there is more that is going on here. Notice that Jesus does not say, "I am he," like we saw in verse 28. There we saw Jesus using the prophecy of Isaiah to show that he is the only Savior and there is no other deliverer but him. And now Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." This is another declaration that Jesus is the eternal God. "I am" is the name of God that God revealed to Moses when Moses asked who he should say sent him. This is why they pick up stones, because this was the penalty for blasphemy according to Leviticus 24 and verse 16. Of course, the scripture decreed this as a judicial sentence, not as an excuse for mob violence, which is what was forming at that moment. But Jesus is not killed, because Jesus will give his life on his own terms and at his own time. Jesus' life will not be taken from him, because Jesus is the I Am. We have our faith in his words that we will never taste death when keeping his words. Jesus has full control over the power of death. What a precious hope. And we must live our lives in the knowledge of this hope, that we will not taste death if we will draw ourselves close to Jesus by living in his word and keeping what he says. But instead, are we liars by claiming something that isn't true? The people thought they were the children of Abraham, through which they claimed to have a relationship with the Father. Are you a Christian? What does that mean? A Christian is not some label. It is who you are, because your life is all about Christ. Are we lying with our claim to be a Christian? Or is it true that our desire is to keep his word? Know the hope that we have for wearing the Christian name, and let us keep the words of our Lord so that we may receive this wonderful reward. Lessons from John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope you'll tune in again next week. Be sure and tune in tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Master with your host, Preston McElyea. Stay tuned for all of the programming here on the network. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.